You saints, thank you, sister. Thank you, brother Dan. Brother Goni, good stuff. I'm just trying to get the slides on there so everything's shared there. Hopefully, that should work fine. Saints, good to have our tech support back this week. We need all the help we can get. I've got a channel. God bless you this evening, saints. We've come for a bit of a special purpose this evening, a twofold purpose. Firstly, we are a week away now from the youth meeting starting in Czech Republic. So there's quite a good group going from Dublin. So it starts next Wednesday night. So this time next week will be the first meeting. So the meetings go from Wednesday evening all the way to Sunday morning. So we've been there several times. It's always a great blessing there. But I thought maybe the Lord's given us a week and it would be wise for us to use this time as wisely as we can for preparation. So we'd like just to speak down the line of preparation, prepared to meet the Master, and then finish off this evening with a season of prayer. Because the greatest thing you can ever do if you're trying to prepare yourself for anything divine or spiritual is approach the Lord prayerfully. And I think that's the key. So that is our thought this evening. So anybody who's joining us online, God bless you, saints. That would be our desire. Then on Friday, we have our prayer meeting. And we'd really like to focus on these things, to put it before the Lord, to put ourselves before the Lord, so that our hearts are soft and tender and are prepared ground by the time we get ourselves across there to Czech Republic. We said it at the family altar last night. There's nothing worse than getting to a place unprepared spiritually. And you see others are starting to enter in. Others are starting to be blessed. You see the Holy Ghost is falling on people and you just find yourself, you're really out of place. You just feel, wow, I don't like that. I've been in that situation before. I'm sure we've all been to meetings and you can see others being blessed and you just feel like a stranger in a strange land. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be like it, and it doesn't have to be like that. And the key to this is our approach to anything divine, anything spiritual. We just need to approach it the right way. God hides in simplicity. It's nothing complicated. But just a reminder. So we'd like to look at this evening. If you open our Bibles to the book of Luke chapter 7. Let's just get a simple thought from Luke chapter 7 from verse 44 to 46. We know the story well. It's Jesus at Simon the Pharisee's house. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, But this woman hath anointed my feet with the ointment. Let's pray. Father, we so much do need and desire you at this time, Lord. Father, we so desire each of our hearts and our souls, no matter if we're going or not, or whatsoever's laying before us, the greatest thing we can do is draw near to you. So may you help us upon this evening, Lord. And we know that you've sent your word and you've anointed your word to usher us to you, Father. And that's what we desire upon this night. Wash us of anything unclean. Forgive us for anything, Lord, that would have grieved your spirit. Father, sanctify us, we pray. And Lord, may your grace visit us and help us. And in this week that lays before, Father, you help us and you guide us. And may we just yield unto you because, Lord, you know how to do things well. And Father, that is our desire. Bless your people that have gathered online as well. We do pray for each brother, each sister, each family, each home. Father, thinking of Brother James and his family, be it Brother James, be it them in their journey. And them that aren't here tonight, we pray for anybody else, Lord. Watch over them, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Let's be seated, saints. God bless you. So we're looking at this thought of prepare to meet the Master. If you got nothing else, especially the young guys, if you got nothing else to listen to at this time, there's many of these messages. There's washing Jesus' feet. There's Jesus with dirty feet. There's the meanest man in Santa Maria. There's the unwelcomed Christ. You're going to find many, many messages preached in different places where Brother Bram spoke down this line of this feast at Simon the Pharisee's house. And so we're just taking from different places in those messages, just these principles of approaching the feast, you know, because he dramatizes it so well in those messages about Simon having this feast. And first, you know, the great preparation that would go into those feasts. And then the approach, if you really wanted to benefit from a feast which was prepared in those kind of days, which the natural typing, the spiritual, would be your, it would be your approach to it. So the first thing, let's just think of this feast. So we're approaching a Lord's appointed feast. Every time we approach the Lord in his word, if you approach him in his house, if you approach him in fellowship, if you approach him at conventions, camps, meetings, it's an appointed time. The Lord has appointed a purpose for that meeting. You know, the children of God never gather in vain. If the Holy Ghost is involved in anything that we do, whenever you open up your Bible, if you in the Spirit, if you wanted to serve the Lord, yeah, and you follow the leadership of the Lord, he's going to lead you to something good. He's going to lead you to something that you need. So the Lord always has an appointment with us. He always has a desire for us. And I believe he really does have an appointment with people in the place that we're going. We saw it last year. Now we've seen it many, many times before that. Wherever two or three gather, he's very, very faithful. And the Lord is very faithful. And I think it's just our preparation which helps us to appreciate that even deeper when we go into spiritual things. You know, so I think the Lord's given us a little bit of time to consider these things and to prepare, because we want to approach this feast the right way. Like I say, when you've approached anything spiritual before, you've gone to a convention before, you've gone to evangelize before, and you haven't been in the Spirit, it becomes very apparent as soon as you're involved in spiritual things. If you need to lead songs, you know, if you need to preach, and you get yourself there and you just find, but yet there's nothing of the Lord there. It's a very, very difficult experience to go through, not one that you'd like to repeat. So that's where you really want to prepare. And the greatest preparation is the preparation of your heart. Yeah, it's not an outward preparation, although those things do play a part, but it's the preparation of your heart. We want our hearts to be prepared ground, to be good ground, Jesus said. We don't want the seed to be sown and we be stony ground, or the seed sown by the wayside, the seed sown among the thorns, it doesn't bring forth of its own kind. No matter how much power, no matter how fertile the seed is, the potential that's in the seed, what determines the seed expressing itself is the condition of our heart. Now you've got to plow up the ground. You've got to prepare that ground. Prepare your heart. Yeah, so the Lord says, prepare your heart. It's time to plow up the fallow ground so that the Lord may rain righteousness upon you. So the Lord wants to come, sow the seed, and then rain showers of blessing to let whatever's said, whatever's done, if the Lord speaks to you, he wants that to have a long-lasting effect. He wants the word to bring forth of its own kind. We don't want to be campground stars, you know, where you go along, yeah, nice, everything's good, and then 2-3 days later, you know, no change in your life, and you're just back into the ditch again. That's not the Lord's desire, but that shows the heart wasn't really prepared. Because when the heart is prepared and the Lord sows his seed into a prepared heart, it's going to bring forth 20-fold, 50-fold, 100-fold, Jesus said. It's going to bring forth good fruit. So that's how we want to approach this feast. Now, these feasts in the Bible, especially these rich feasts of these Pharisees, like Simon the Pharisee, it was by invitation only. Yeah, and the good thing about grace, every single time the Lord gives us an invitation, every single time the Lord gives us an opportunity spiritually, and you know, even to come into his house, it's grace. It's absolutely a manifestation of the grace of God. For you and I to be here this evening, to gather around his word in his name, to sing songs of worship, to open up his word, and then to get into a season of prayer, that's the grace of God to us. Because there's multitudes of people, the majority of people, who aren't doing that today. So the Lord has given us this opportunity. So these days, these feasts were only by invitation. Yeah, and you and I don't really realize, I don't think, when Jesus says, no man comes to me except my Father draws him. Now, there's no accidents and there's no things that happen just by chance in the kingdom of God for you to be in a certain place at a certain time. It's the Lord has appointed that. Yeah, so the Lord appoints, he plays his part, and the Lord is very, very faithful on his side. Yeah, and then he's got our part that we need to play as well. And when those two omnipotents come together, when you find the Lord has an appointed time, and you just prepare your heart, and those two things come together, something good is going to take place every single time. And when I think of it, I think our last slide will say that, like, something unforgettable. I think every time you go, especially to meetings that people have arranged, I think the Lord wants it to be something unforgettable. And I think the Lord wants it to be something that really leaves an imprint, like a real unforgettable experience. But sometimes it's not like that. Yeah, and you really do feel when you come from a camp or you come from a convention or you come from meetings, whatever, you feel that. That was a missed opportunity. You know, you just feel it inside of yourself that the potential was there. So much, you could have received so much more. Yeah? You come still with certain things that you feel, I really, really think the Lord drew near to me and he would have dealt deeper with me, but maybe just my heart wasn't really in the place that it should have been. So I just thought maybe this week coming, today, Friday, Sunday, if the Lord would help us to just point to the Tree of Life, just to seek the promises, show the approach and show the way, and then just pray that as we get into prayer, we pray for each and every person that the Lord will really quicken these things and quicken each of us in our approach. Because it's not here that we're going to win the victory. This is, we're going to learn just a few principles, but it's tomorrow and it's going to be Friday and it's going to be when you're getting up in the morning on Sunday. It's going to be your approach. What are you listening to? You know, what are you setting your attention upon? Where is your heart in this week that lays before? That's going to determine so much. And that makes the big difference when you find people who go to a camp or they go to a convention and they come back and you ask people to give a testimony and you'll see just certain people, you know, there's the tears and there's the reality and the Lord met me and stuff. And then somebody else who is sitting on the seat next to that person, you know, they don't really understand what this person is saying. We spoke of it once before that we're listening just the testimony of Brother Biskel, you know, that when I'm a witness. And when he was in the car with Brother Branham, and then he said the right thing, and the angel of the Lord came down in the car in that awesome presence that came, and it was an unforgettable experience for Brother Biskel. But there was Bud Southwick's son sitting in the back seat. To him, it wasn't an unforgettable experience because these things are very personal. So you can be sitting next to somebody who's so much in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, there's so much in the spirit of worship, and you wonder, why is this person getting so emotional? I'd rather it be the other way around. I'd rather be the person really getting emotional, looking and say, hey, why can't this person sense what's taking place in this place? But it's to be spiritually sensitive. At the beginning of that, I'm a witness, he speaks of when he was a young man and he goes to that church before there was anything to do with the message and there was the great revival taking place and he... Well, young men, they were camping in the back of the room of the church, sleeping in sleeping bags. And Brother Biskel went after the service that night and he lay down on his sleeping bag and that Holy Ghost just came upon him and he wept. He says, maybe for up to 2 hours, he was just broken. He didn't know what it was, but the anointing came and he was just sobbing before the Lord. And the pastor got up the next day and said, Saints, last night somebody prayed. He says, somebody prayed last night. He says, because yesterday we grieved the Holy Ghost somehow. But somebody prayed during the night and all is well. And he says, you know, just the sensitivity, to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is a dove. It's very easy to grieve the Holy Ghost. You know, we've got to walk softly before the Lord. I don't think it's complicated, but it's being sensitive. And we all know that. And to become spiritually sensitive is not something like a light switch, where you're not sensitive and you just switch and boop. You know, there's a process that you've got to go of yielding and drawing near. And that's what we're speaking about here, so that you become spiritually sensitive. Because our spiritual sight, you know, it's, you've got to tune in your binoculars. You know, at first you're looking and it's just, everything's a blur. But as you tune it in, the process of tuning, everything starts coming into focus. And the same with our spiritual hearing. You know, to hear the voice of the Lord. We've been hearing so many other voices, all the voice of entertainment, the voice of pleasure. There's so many confusing voices around us all the time. For us to really come to that place where we can filter out all those other voices by drawing near and let the voice of the Lord become more and more clear, tuning in the radio in a way, until you tune into the right frequency and there's not a lot of interference. You know, I remember those old radios, Brother Alex would know them very well. My granddad had one of those big wireless, he used to call it, you know, in his bedroom. And it was the one of the big dials. And you'd hear him because he was German, Swiss German. So he had one to listen to whatever channel from Europe. We were still in Zimbabwe. And he would tune it in. And he'd go, and then he'd get to the near the place. And you'd have to go backwards and forwards. And then you find, wah, and then it becomes clear and you can hear. That's what it is with us as well. Now, when you just go roar into a spiritual meeting, Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. He who has eyes to see, you know, blessed are your eyes because they see. And that is the process of preparation. It's a simple thing, but it's becoming tuned in. It's becoming sensitive. It's becoming yielded. And sometimes that needs us to break up some of the hardness, bring it before the Lord, you know, and spend time so that he can break something inside of us, that he can mold us, that he can deal with us in a real way. So he's given us the invitation to go. And many people have responded, and that's a wonderful thing, because the Lord, he can do as much as he can do, but we've got to respond. But it's the preparation that we're speaking about. And there's two sides to the preparation. When they had a feast in those Bible days, there was firstly the preparation of the master of the feast, Simon the Pharisee, whoever it was. Yeah, there's a lot of preparation that would go into setting up the feast. And if you think of a camp, there's a lot of preparation that goes into these things. You know, I know it from when we've had our camps and we've had meetings. And it's like a wedding. You don't realize as a guest when you get there that day, just the months of preparation and work that's taken place to bring things to that point in time. Yeah, you don't realize. And it's the same when we're gathering for spiritual things. You know, that whoever it was that was going to have a feast in Bible days, they would think of it far ahead. You know, there would be a thought in their mind of, when is this feast going to be? When would be the optimum time to have it, to get the best results? What am I trying to achieve in this feast? You know, so there'd be a lot, months and months of preparation. Abraham says it in the message, Unwelcome Christ. They would make ready for months and months, getting everything ready. And they chose a certain time of the year for such a feast. He says, maybe when the grapes were ripe and the air was filled with the aroma of ripened grapes. So now you're trying to get an optimal experience for people. This is a natural feast. So you wanted people to come and never forget it. You wanted to give the people the best experience that you can. So everything in your decision-making process, where's the best place? How are we going to have it? What's going to be on the menu? Who's going to cook the food? What kind of music are we going to have? Now, all of those things have to be thought through and have to be prepared and, you know, get all those things in line to come together at a certain place at a certain time. And that's why you find the saints, Brother Gregory and them from Czech, you know, asking last week to say, let's really have some 2 days of prayer. And it always is the key to these things, is to set aside that time. And it shows this preparation going into it. You know, and I think if we could understand the preparation the Lord makes behind the scenes, you think of Brother Andrew Glover. I mean, he's already preparing. Me, I'm already trying to prepare. You know, this week, you're trying to find the mind of the Lord. Lord, what is it that I'm supposed to say there? And that is the great battle that comes in. Now, you've got, if you preach a few times a week and you've been preaching for a few years, you've got thousands of things you could say. But what is it the Lord once said? Yeah, and you'll never wait as the minister or the song leader or whatever to get there to start preparing. No, you couldn't do that. That's not the way we approach the things of the Lord. The preparation must start well ahead of time because you want to get there and hit the ground running. You want to know what it is the Lord wants you to say before you get there. Then you can go with the confidence there. The song leader is praying, he's seeking the Lord. He goes there already anointed. He's not going there to get anointed. He's going there already anointed. And you bring anointed those with gifts of administration that are putting everything together, making everything work smoothly. Who's going to be in which rooms? Transport. Where are people coming from? How are they getting to the venue? All of that arrangement. All the technicians with the sound equipment, the video, all that kind of stuff. You know, those people are already thinking of these things weeks ago. You know, they haven't started thinking about those things now or next week. You know, they're already thinking, and these people are going to transport this, and this needs to be done, and they're testing this. Maybe we need to replace this equipment, we need to check up on this. You know, so there's a lot that takes place on these kind of things. So if there's so much preparation, even on the natural side, so much preparation of the people that will be officiating at the feast, surely there's got to be the same sort of a balance of the people that are going to the feast. You know, because if you really think about it, if people are preparing a long time before so that everything is right when you get to the feast, what about the conditions of our heart? Should our preparation not match their preparation? Because when you bring those two things together, you're going to have a blessed time. You know, and everyone in his own role, everybody waiting upon their own ministry. Your ministry may just be, as a young person, if you're already walking with the Lord, to encourage other young people that are going. Because always at this junction, before you go to one of these feasts, to a camp, there's people that are thinking to drop out at this time. Because the enemy is very real. He's already discouraging people. He's already telling people, what's the point in going? And you don't even know anybody there. There's so many thoughts. There's going to be mind battles and those kind of things. So every one of us has a ministry. And if you're in the spirit and you're looking forward to this camp, you could do the Lord a wonderful favor. You know, do the Lord a great service, ministering to his people by just a word of encouragement. Yeah. Even just to, you see somebody's not doing so well, send them a message. And so why don't you listen to this message? This is already, it's something that's blessed you, something that's helping you to prepare. Give it out to other people. Just, you know, everybody has a role. Everybody has a part to play. And if there's nothing else that we can do, I mean, the most important thing we should do is to pray for other people, to be praying for these things, to be praying. I mean, when there was the feast in Nottingham at Easter, our family almost didn't get there because the flights were cancelled at the last minute. And now Sister Aggie, Gitana and them, they're having to fly to London, catch trains, get in there the next day. You miss the first day of the feast. You know, the enemy loves to do those kind of things. And that's why we have opportunity to pray now, you know, so that the angel of the Lord goes before. So we're waiting upon the Lord and saying, Lord, please, we want to hear the sound in the mulberry trees. We want to hear you going before us. We want to wage warfare in heavenly places to cast off the darkness. Now, we want to pray for the ministry that's going to be there. We want to pray for the song leaders, the worship. We want to pray for the fellowship that's going to be there. We want our young people to be blessed. Amen. We want them to make friends there. Amen. You know, that'll be their lifelong friends, like we've made friends in all places around the world that are close friends to us now because the Lord led us to certain places. We met the appointed people we were supposed to meet. Yeah, there's a bond takes place because you're in a spiritual dimension. They're in a spiritual dimension. And that sets you up. That opens doors for the future. And many of the young people are going to meet somebody who's going to know somebody, and that's where you're going to get your husband. Or you're going to meet somebody now, and you're 15 years old, and you're going to find in 3, 4, 5 years' time that, bam, that was the link to another link, and that was the way the Lord now led you into the next dimension of your life. It all starts off here, and it just needs simple spiritual sensitivity. Just to follow, with that little prompting of the Lord, that still small voice, and when you're thinking, I'm at the camp. I think I'm just going to go at lunchtime and go and sit and play on my phone at lunchtime. And a little voice says, hey, go and fellowship with these people over here. When I went to Switzerland for the feast, Easter feast some years back, when it was Brother Biskel and Brother Ron Spencer, Brother Donnie, Brother Tim Pruitt. It was a powerful meeting, one of the Swiss meetings. I was with Brother George. So we went down at the lunchtime, and I really prayed in the room. I said, please, Lord, help me to meet who you want me to meet when I'm here. We got down to the dining room. It was full. There's another dining room downstairs, so we went down to the downstairs one. There were only two seats left, separate from one another. I said, hey, Brother George, we're not going to sit together. I went and I sat down. As I sat down, two brothers across there. One was Brother Milko from Brother Biskel's church. He reached his hand. God bless you, I'm Brother Milko. It was such a wonderful time. We leave there 2 days later. We go to the hotel. We're staying in Geneva, me and Brother George. I get on the phone now to check in our flight. We have to fly through Munich and then we're flying to Dublin. They put us on a certain seat. I don't know why I did it. I changed the seat. I went and put us right near the back. We get onto the plane. We're about to fly to Munich. There's me and Brother George, and there's one extra seat, one free seat on the plane now because I've changed our seat. There's one between us. Brother Milko, the same brother, comes walking in the plane. I felt very strange. He comes walking down. I said, Brother Milko, what's your seat number? He was booked in the seat next to me. It was so powerful to me. And we had such a fellowship. Then I saw, Lord, there's people you want us to meet and things you want us to know. And if we just simple, that simple thing of changing your flight seats and you sit next to the same person, that can happen to all of us because the Lord has his purpose. He has his plan. He has a predestinated purpose for your life. Yeah. There's people he wants you to meet. Yeah. Now, there's friends that he wants you to have that he's ordained from before the foundation of the world. Under the seal of your life, there's a mystery. And he wants maybe to unveil a part of that mystery when you're going there. But a seal being unveiled, you need to be able to hear his voice. When the anointing is broken in a seal, you need to be able to respond in simplicity to that anointing. And it becomes a wonderful thing. Now, life becomes an adventure like that. You know, like Paul and Silas, you might be in prison, but you're in the spirit. And then you understand why you're in prison. Because here's the Philippian jail. He only does night shift. He can't go to church. So the Lord says, okay, let me take the church to him. And they get arrested and put in stocks in the worst part of the prison. Because there's an appointed person they're supposed to meet, the Philippian jailer. And that's the same with your life. And if you could look at it in that way, sometimes you're going to need to just step out of our comfort zone a little bit. And it's not easy stepping out of the comfort zone when you're in the flesh. Yeah. It's not easy. But when you're in the spirit and there's that prompting, there's that quickening inside of your soul, you know, your flesh wants to hold back, you know, your natural nature, but there's something else saying, press on, go, speak to this person. It's wonderful because whenever he comes, something good happens. He'll never disappoint you. You'll really meet people and make friends and things like that. And then you'll end up going to visit people and they'll visit you. And life becomes really, really a wonderful thing spiritually. Because the family of God, you know, God is linking you to the real people that he wants you to be linked with inside of your life. But it needs that. So that's the side of our preparation on the other side. So the master now, he's preparing the feast. He's preparing the food. Yeah, he says maybe he's preparing a lamb. He chooses, depending on his riches, now he'd get Gordon Ramsay or he'd get, I don't know, you know, what's the other guy named? The guy was Dude Perfect. What's his name? Nick DiGiovanni. You know, all of these guys, these big chefs now. Yeah, and they would appoint them and get them to come and do this speciality. That's the same as when they're asking ministers to come. You know, they're asking people to come to for a certain dish. You know, and the people that convene these things, they pray, and they know the certain kind of word which is needed. They know what needs to be served on the table. So they invite certain people. Same as us. When we have a youth camp, you know, look, hey, our young people need evangelists. Let's get Daniel Mazur. Yeah, you try to match the need to the gift. You see, because you see it over time that, hey, this person ministers in this way. Or you bring Brother Cheslin. He's got a gift of faith. Yeah. You know, that bulldog faith. So you have the different gifts and ministries to come and dish up whatever diet is needed at that time to achieve a certain purpose. And that's how they would prepare themselves at that day as well. What about the musicians? You know, that man, when he's making his feast, he wants a certain atmosphere to be there. He doesn't just want noise. You know, so he's rich. He wants to get the right musicians to set the right atmosphere because he's got a goal inside of his mind. He's trying to set up an experience for those that are invited that they're never going to forget. that they're going to really appreciate. It's going to be a benefit to them. So everything that he's doing, everything that he's planning is to bring about that result. And that's the same way that it is spiritually. Exactly. You know, you'll find the specials that'll be sung. And, you know, the song leaders that are there and that. We really need to pray for those things because we know how important music is in setting an atmosphere, in bringing a spiritual dimension down into a place. It's very good to pray about these kind of things. Yeah. We've all been in places where the song leader gets up and you just feel, I don't know if this is the right song leader. And everyone's grinding away during a song service. Yeah. And then it's not easy for the minister to step in after that because there's no preparation. Now the minister's going to have to get into sixth gear now to try to see if he can rescue this. So these are the things we really do need to pray about by experience. But what about when the right song leader gets up there? Oh my, we were in Germany there just a few weeks back. And yeah, that one song leader, when he got up, he was just so anointed. Even when he went to with Benjamin and that for the Easter services at Brother Barry, the song leader there, it was just a masterpiece. You know, when somebody's just in their position, they're anointed, and even the songs that are being sung, you just, wow. And then somebody comes and plays their special, and it just blends in, even with the preaching that's about to come. And it's such an encouragement to you as well. You say, but hey, this is exactly in line with what's about to be said. We were saying it when we were fellowshipping with some saints on Monday from America, that Brother David Nash from Oregon, our friend who came across to preach for us many times, when he came the first time to Dublin, he came with his daughter, Ruth. Just him, they were on their way somewhere else, and they stopped by, came to preach for us. So very first service, Brother David gets in the pulpit, says, nah, I think before I preach, I'll ask my daughter to come and sing a song. And he asked Sister Ruth. She comes up, she had a very real fine voice. She came up and sang that song, "The Law of the Lord is Perfect, Converting the Soul." That, yeah, it was so nice. And then he got up, Brother David, and he says, "That's my text." And that was his text. That exact scripture was his text. That's such an encouragement. But you can see the wheels in the middle of the wheel. Everything's working together to achieve a desired purpose. And I'm sure you want, what about our preparation? Would it not be wonderful if the Lord could lead you in the simplicity of his word and what you listen to in the next week to tune you into a certain frequency, which is exactly the frequency that's going to be at the camp? That'd be so wonderful. That you get there and you say, wow, hey, that's exactly what I was listening to the other day. That's a great, great thing. And sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. It's as simple as that. Yeah, but it's tuning in so that we can, you know, find what is pleasing to the Holy Ghost. What does the Lord want me to read now? Lord, what is it you want me to listen to now? It's not clear at first. No, at first it's that one. You're waking up in the morning and say, oh, I'm really out of the Spirit, you know. And you say, let me try to read that. But as you yield and you pray and you wait, you might start off just randomly, but the Lord's going to lead you to a certain place. Something will be quickened in your soul. Something will become real. But I really want to go and read about David and Goliath again. I don't know why. I need to go and read about Samson. When I was in Germany, like I said, when the last meeting finished and we sat there, and there was such a glorious anointing was there. I didn't want to leave that place. The Lord really spoke to my heart and said, you need to go and read the life of Gideon. It was so clear to me. And as soon as I got back, I went and I got into the life of Gideon. And it helped me so much. You know, there's those certain times in simplicity when the Lord lays somebody upon your heart, something upon you. It could be to listen to a certain message. Yeah. And you go and listen. And then you start to, oh. Then you listen to it even a second time or a third because the Lord's name is upon that. The Lord's anointing is overshadowing that particular portion of the word. And you can feel it now inside of yourself. Lord, you're trying to say something to me here. What is it that you're trying to say? And then when you go from there, then you get up to the camp and you find the minister comes from America and he goes down that same line, maybe in a different way because we're all shaped in different ways, but the same mind behind it, the same divine thought behind it. You say, this is powerful. It's such an encouragement, those things, when you see those kind of things happening. So, you know, even this preparation, how he had choose the people to come. Yeah, Abraham speaks about how they would barbecue their roast lamb and put all kinds of spices on it. You know? And every person, when they minister, they got their own spice they put on it, according to the way which they made. You know, they'll take the word in a certain way, and it'll be, you know, everybody's unique in their own way, and you know, just roasting it in a certain way, and then serving the food out at the feast, and you partaking of that food. Everything's been prepared, the atmosphere's there, the music has been just there, and now you're starting to partake of the main course now. And what greater fellowship do you have when you're sitting around the table, you're just blessed at that time, partaking of good food, you're fellowshipping. Hey, Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. Yeah, but it depends on how we prepare ourselves, and that's all that we want. He says they would get everything ready just to the dot. They'd have all the stables fixed for those who are coming by cart. They would pull the horses in. They had servants there, all of the servants dressed and standing ready. You know, so this took, there was a lot of thought went behind this. Now, when you got there and you came on your donkey, here was the servant dressed just right in his position. Let me take your donkey, sir. He goes and waters your donkey, puts it away. Yeah, and then you go inside, there's the servants to meet you on the way in. Yeah, it's a really, really wonderful thing when people are in their position. Everything just flows. Now, until you don't even really notice it, you don't realize this is just so well run. This was just such a blessed time because everything's just moving. There's oil in the machine. You know, everything's, the gears are just moving together and achieving a purpose, which is the purpose that the feast is convened for at first. But the preparation we really want to speak about here is the guest preparation, because from the time you get the invitation and you send it back, you know, the messenger comes to you, Nicodemus is inviting you to his feast because he was a rich man. Or Joseph of Arimathea would invite you to have the pleasure of your company at his feast at certain times, certain place. Yeah. RSVP. And you would write your thing. Thank you very much. I'll be there. From the time you receive the invitation to the time you get there, you're going to go through a lot of things. And one of the biggest things in those days was the journey that it took to get there. Because you didn't get a new air-conditioned Cadillac in Palestine in those days, you know, and drive 3 hours in a Cadillac. Yeah, you were in Jerusalem, the feast is maybe being held in Beersheba, or it's being held up in Hebron or something, or down in Hebron, or up in Galilee. And you've got to take a serious journey to get yourself there for the feast. And now there's two things about the journey. Number one is the conditions of the roads. That's what he speaks about. He says in Palestine, men would travel many times, maybe by foot walking. Or maybe with a donkey, yeah? He says, they walked. He says they didn't have roads paved like ours. They were dusty and rugged. It wasn't an easy journey. And he says, and the animals walked down the road and they would do their droppings and the droppings would dry and the birds would come and peck. It mixes up with the dust. And you walking with your robes and you walking down there, you've got an underneath robe. And you, while you're sweating because the climate is hot, the sun is baking down on you. You're sweating, and now you're picking up all of that dust with manure. It doesn't smell very good. It's getting all on your legs, you know, all on your feet. And you're tired now. And you're walking in the Palestinian sun, and it's burning your neck. You're feeling sweaty. You're feeling tired. You're taking a bit of a break under a palm tree on the way, drinking water. By the time you get to the place of the feast, you're not really in the spirit of the occasion. And there's been a lot in your journey to knock you out. From the time you received the invitation, you were really enthused to go. There's many things that come between the invitation and the time you actually get into the feast, which maybe make you feel, I don't know why I accepted this invitation to come to the feast. Everything's just going wrong in the journey. Yeah. So the master of the feast understood that well. He understood, look, when the people are going to get here, many of them are not really going to be right in the spirit of the feast yet. So I'm going to have to help them to get in the spirit. I'm going to have to minister to their needs. So it was a threefold thing that he would do. A threefold provision. So the first thing, and we saw it in Luke chapter 7, when you're coming in there, put yourself in their position. You've been hot, you've been traveling the whole day, maybe 2 days traveling. Now you're dusty, you're not smelling well. Think of where you're going. These places were lavish. These men were rich. Here was Persian carpets, your lush Persian carpets, and beautiful, you know, that paved and marble and all of this. And you come in there dusty, sweaty, your feet are dirty. Do you feel like you just want to walk inside of there and you're going to feel at home in this man's perfect house? You don't feel prepared. You don't feel in a condition to feel comfortable to go in. So the very first thing the master did, and all of this was provided by the person who gave you the invitation. The first thing, he had a servant on duty to wash your feet. Because he knew you've got a need. You're coming from the journey, you're not smelling nice. And you would sit down there, and here would come the servant, take your leg, put it over his leg, take off your sandals, get the water, and he'd wash your legs, the lower legs, wash your feet. You know, and then put the other one, and then you take your sandals, put them aside, and take the silk slippers and put them on your feet. Now you feel comfortable. So, okay, at least now I can go and tread on those carpets. I'm not going to feel bad. But you're still not really feeling comfortable yet because you're sweaty. You know, you burnt. You're just really feeling tired. So as soon as you were washed by the first servant, you go into the next little room, and there was another servant to minister to the next of your needs. He was the one to anoint you now. And he had the special anointing oil. Maybe it had the rose of Sharon or something inside of the oil to give it a fresh fragrance. Brother Bram says many times it had menthol inside of it. Because you burnt, you baked. The sun has really taken that. The conditions have got you before you get there. And something's going to have to minister you out of that condition. So you can feel at home in the feast. You know what feeling? When you first get there and you're tired, you're sunburnt, you're smelly. Hey, you're not really wanting to go and meet Joseph of Arimathea in his perfect robes, you know, and he's smelling so nice, he's so fresh. You don't feel in any way to go and fellowship with him. You need to be ministered in the right condition so that you feel comfortable to go and fellowship with him. And it's his responsibility to make a provision for you. So when we're speaking about washing the feet, washing with water, what is that? The washing of the water by the word. That's what we're trying to do today. We're trying to wash you with the waters of the word. Because maybe your journey has been tough. Maybe your exam season was hard. Maybe you've been through trials, temptations in the journey that when you heard about going to the camp at first, you were really excited. And now you're saying, but I don't know why I ever got my dad to pay all that money to go to the camp. It happens. Yeah. And the master understands that. He understands the journey is going to take its toll between the invitation and the feast. So he's got a provision there. And as you draw near to the feast, the first thing now, you need to be washed. The contamination that you picked up along the way in the journey. You know, the negativity and the temptation and all these things that have been trying to affect you. You need to be washed. And that's what you're trying to do now. And then you need to also go and get in those messages. And get washed by the waters of the word. And you'll find that that anointing that's in the word. Paul says that Christ is going to wash his bride by the waters of the word. To present her as a spotless bride. So it's not speaking of being washed in the blood. You've already been washed in the blood. You've already been redeemed. But you've been picked up defilement along the way. Like the priests when they would come to officiate in the tabernacle. When they would come in first, that offer a sacrifice for their sins on the brazen altar, then straight away, before they would go into the most holy place, into the holy place, where there were the candlesticks and that, they now had to go to the laver, which was water, and they would wash themselves from the contamination of the journey. You know, so their sins are forgiven, and now they're washing themselves of any defilement. Next, they're going to get themselves anointed, and they're going to get themselves in now to go and minister before the Lord. Because when you're first getting there, you've had a hard day, there's been fights at home, this, that. You're not really thinking to go into the Shekinah glory of the Lord to go and, you know, deal with the showbread, deal with the candlesticks. You've got to be tuned in. And the Lord provided that process. As you approach him, drawing nearer and nearer, he's going to tune you and prepare you now. So when you come into his presence, you're comfortable to come into his presence. It's not easy coming into the presence of the Lord when your heart isn't right. When you're out of the spirit, it's not easy. When everybody else is rejoicing and people, you know, the anointing is there in the song worship, you're feeling condemned. You're just wishing, I just want to go and sit in my room. I don't feel at home here. That's how you would have felt in these days if you came in stinky and smelly and sweaty, burnt, out of the spirit, and you went straight in and you met the master. And you sat down at the table and here were all the guests. Everyone is in it, yeah, enjoying fellowshipping. You'd feel so out of place. You'd say, well, yeah, I'm ready. And that happens many times when you go to meetings, doesn't it? You get there and you feel out of place. You just feel, I don't know what I'm doing here. Yeah. You don't want it to be like that. Yeah. And it starts now. It doesn't ever have to be like that in the things of the kingdom of God. If you prepare yourself now and just yield for the next week, by the time you get there, you'll never feel out of place. No, you already feel in that this is home. This is the place that I'm supposed to. You'll be feeling at home when you get there. And that's what we desire. So these places were really, really rich. Yeah, and you don't want to get in there not feeling prepared when you get inside of there. He says, so the next thing they had, he washes you with the word. He says, when that happened, the next thing he went into another little chamber. There was poured out into his hands spikenard oil. So your hands are dirty, sweaty. You've been touching all these things. You don't want to go and shake hands with the guests inside of there that are really in good condition. So the first thing the servant would do is pour oil, this fragrant oil into your hands. And you'd clean your hands and he'd give you a towel and you'd clean that off. Then he'd give you more oil. And then you'd take it and you'd put it on your face and put it on your neck. And like I'm saying with menthol, imagine how cooling that is. That fragrance is coming, the fragrance, the aroma. Now you're starting to smell like a sweet fragrance. When you go in there, when you're smelly and sweaty and that, and the host wants to come and embrace you, God bless you, good to see you. You don't smell very good. You know that. But now you're smelling, you've got a fragrance now. Now you're blending in with everybody else there that's got the same fragrance. Now it's a fellowship. Now it's a brotherhood. Yeah. Now you're starting to feel the fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. You know, you both got your slippers on. You're all ready now. You've been washed. You've been anointed. You feel good now. You're starting to get in the spirit of the occasion. And then once you've done that, the greatest thing that you got here, I put that one just to show the, I couldn't find a good one without them putting all of their copyright stuff on it. But just to show, these were rich places. Now, just to give you some idea. There's like Jesus at the feast and how they would lie down. But it was plush and ornate and the way people would be dressed and people putting on the best that they could. Because it was a very special occasion. It was a great privilege. It was an honor to receive an invitation. Most people never received an invitation like this all the days of their life. And that's the same as us. We've been given a divine invitation to come before the Lord, to come separate ourselves, come apart for a season so the Lord can come and fellowship with us. But what is the main attraction? What is the main event? Yeah, it's good to have your feet washed. It's good to be anointed. But the main event was to meet the Master. Yeah, the one who's invited you, you want to meet him. You want to fellowship with him. That's the whole purpose that you're there. That's the reason he's invited you to come. He wants to renew fellowship. He wants to catch up with you on things. He wants that sweet fellowship with you. So the final thing now, once you've been anointed, you come through the final veil, the final door, and there he is waiting to greet you. And then he gives you his embrace. Yeah. And once he gives you his embrace, then he gives you a kiss of welcome. He gives you the kiss on both cheeks. And once he kisses you welcome, now that's it. Now you feel at home. Because you might have had all these thoughts on the way. I remember this, he said this once, and I don't know if he understood me when I spoke to him about that. I wonder what he thinks about me. And I wonder what our friendship is like now. Well, the best cure or remedy to those kind of thoughts is to come into somebody's presence. And when you see their smile, and you see how happy they are to see you, and you feel the genuineness of the embrace, and there's the genuineness of the kiss, all of those things disappear. And you know, all is well between me and the Master. And that's what we're wanting when we get there. We want the Master's embrace. Amen. We want to get there. And his anointing, his presence comes and embraces us. And we feel straight away at home when we're there. Right from when the first song is sung, even when you get into the camp. I remember when you had the youth camp 2015, 16, when William and Daniel and them, when they all had a real experience with the Lord down in Avoca. And the anointing came and the young guys were praying for an hour, 2 hours at the end of the service. And then Brother David was coming, I think, with Dee and somebody else. They were late. They had to pick up somebody. I think maybe Joseph Mulawai or somebody. And they were driving on the way, yeah, to the place. Brother David testified, maybe 30 minutes out, he told the guys in the car, there's something taking place at that camp. I can feel it inside of my soul. And we've all been to places like that. We had a convention once in Zimbabwe where everybody stayed at a camp. And there was such a visitation. I had to stay at home because my parents were, so I had to drive like 20 minutes home and come back. When you'd leave the campground, you'd feel yourself coming out of that anointing. And when you'd come back again, you'd feel yourself coming back in because the Lord was overshadowing his people. This very place we're going, Cienkowice, the same place where they came, where the family came some years back. And on the Saturday night, they asked for a prayer line. They'd asked me to speak at the family camp. And I spoke on supreme authority. And then we had a prayer line. And as we had the prayer line, one brother and his family were standing outside of the main auditorium. And there's the mountains behind, you know, the venue. And they looked, and the clouds were hanging low. And there was a light in the cloud. And the light came over and came and settled and came down into the building. And the brother's a very spiritual brother, and he prayed. Him and his Lord, what does this mean? And the Lord says, this is my presence that will be with you tonight. And as that happened, when we had the prayer line, there was one young man who came. He had a blood disorder. I don't know what you call it, but his blood count, whenever it got to a certain whatever, 12 or whatever, he had to go to the hospital to have transfusions. You know, and then he'd be okay for a while, and then his blood count would go down. I remember the name, but it was a real complicated name. And on the Friday, when they're about to leave to come to the camp, his parents bringing him, this young man, his blood count went below the threshold. So his parents had a decision to make. Do we go to the camp or do you take him to the hospital? I said, let's go to the camp. And he came in the prayer line. And there was me and Brother Bogdan and Brother Gregory and the saints there. We prayed for that young man. I think his blood count on when he came the last day, I think it was down to 8. He went to the doctor on the Monday. It was 34. It was powerful. Because God's presence was there. You could sense it. You could just feel, yeesh, this is wonderful. Because without him, we could do nothing. But when his presence is there and overshadows a place, and he comes in response to the prayers of his people. Now, the depth of his anointing and the depth of his blessing is determined by the depth of our preparation, the depth of our worship, the depth of our approach towards sacred and holy things. And I believe the Lord wants greater things when we're there. Last year was wonderful. I remember the one service when Brother Josh was preaching from Oklahoma, young Cherokee Indian evangelist brother, very nice brother, Josh Martin. And I was really tired out that day. I had to take the service in the morning and the day before and stuff. And he preached. He didn't preach for long. If you remember this, he only preached maybe 30 minutes or 40 minutes with an interpreter, and the anointing came. And he said, anybody wants prayer, come now. And there was Benjamin will bear witness. Almost every one of our young people went. And there was a zone at the front. Sister Aggie will bear witness. When I was standing there, we were praying for these young people. It was like the pillar of fire was there. It was a glory. And every one of the young people who came up and walked within that zone immediately started sobbing. Until one of the deacons had to sit in the front with a box of tissues. Because everybody that was coming within that zone was just broken before the Lord. And Brother Josh is really given to those prayer lines. The words that he spoke to people and almost the prophecy he gave in the lives of people. But when I was standing there, it ministered so much to me. You know, it was such a blessing when his glory comes and you just enter into the reality of his presence. All of the fatigue and all of the disappointments on the way had just disappeared. And you really come out of there victorious once again. I mean, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm sure he wants greater things than that this time. But it really depends on our approach. But there were many young people that came who never even came in the prayer line. There were people from our youth who came, and they're not coming this year. And I said, what a wasted opportunity. There was such an invitation. If they could have just responded and tasted and seen for themselves. I remember Benjamin, how he wept when he came into the prayer line. He was sobbing. You know, when somebody's so broken because of the presence of the Lord, you never forget those experiences. You taste and you see the goodness of the Lord. And that's what we want. And all of the preparation is for what? So we receive the embrace of the Master. So we receive his kiss of welcome. So we can fellowship with him and know that all is well with my soul. No, there's no Nothing between my soul and my Savior, like this song says. That's the whole aim of the feast, was so you would receive the embrace and then have the fellowship of the Master and the fellowship of all of the guests that were there, the brotherhood. So once you get there now and He embraces you and He kisses you, now you feel at home. Yeah. You might be 2 days' journey from home, but once He's embraced you, come and sit, and He puts you in the seat next to Him. So good to see you again. What, and then you can feel it in the atmosphere that's been, the music has produced and all of that. Now you're sitting down, now you're having fellowship and communion. Then you're meeting other people that are there that are feeling the same thing. There's the brotherhood now. There's the fellowship of kindred minds. Oh, so good. I haven't seen you for a long time. Oh, who is you? This is my brother. His name is so-and-so. And now you, bam, there's a spiritual bond. Now you become blood brothers now and blood sisters because you're brethren of a common experience. You're not brethren of just theory. You know, that we all go to Dublin Christian Fellowship and we go to, you know, whatever fellowship it is in Czech. No, that's good. But the real bond comes when you are in the Spirit and you meet another one in the Spirit, like Elizabeth and Mary, and you have real koinonia, divine fellowship now. And there's the spiritual dimension there. When our young guys went the first time to Switzerland, those years back when Brother Max Jr., Sister Nachisa, Sister Angel, Brother Feli and them, we had one young man, I won't take much longer, we had one young man called... by Jonathan Yatti. He's now married. He lives in London. But he was with us for 2 years from Switzerland. He was a young man, came to study. So we helped him out. Brother George and he, we used to do the Bible, like have youth on a Saturday and then they'd have all-night prayer with Brother George. Same time with Brother Chesler and Brother Kingsley and those brothers that are now in different parts of the world. But he now left after his studies, went back to Switzerland. So one day I get a call, boom, answer my phone. It's Brother Francois Lepica, the pastor in Switzerland. I'd heard of him, I never had spoken to him. He says, brother, I just wanted to thank you for looking after Brother Jonathan while he was there. I said, no problem, brother. He's been a blessing to us. He says, what are your youth doing this summer? I said, we're not doing anything. He says, why don't you send them across so we'll have a combined camp, our youth and them. So now we started having every Friday meetings, youth meetings. I said, let's prepare ourselves for this. Yeah, and then there was Brother Max Jr. and all of them. That was the time they really had an experience with the Lord. And we did the same thing. We prepared for several Fridays. They went now to the camp. They went to Switzerland. They came back. You could see many of them, they were transformed. They had a real experience with God. So they came to testify. And Brother Max Jr. said that. He says, the camp went fine until the last day. And we just felt, but we haven't really received what we came for. The meetings have been good, but there's the spiritual dimension we haven't yet reached. We really want the Lord to visit us. He says, so what we determined, us young people from Dublin, this was the second last day. He said, tomorrow morning, we're getting up in the morning early and we're getting out there because they were in the mountains and we are going to pray and pray for the Lord to visit us. And that night, I think the meeting finished at 2 o'clock in the morning because the glory of God came. You know those times when His presence comes, the very last night of the feast, because the young ones were there under an expectation saying, no, we want to meet with the Lord. The whole aim of the feast is the embrace of the Master, is to get His kiss of blessing. And they received it, many, not all of them, but many of them received it. Brother Kingsley is now the song leader in Italy. Brother Cheslin, you know where he is there. Brother Max Jr.'s minister in across there in Canada. Sister Angel, such a blessing. I as a Sunday school teacher and all that. And you'll find that's where it all came from. But there was a preparation. You know, so when people are going, they know what they're going for. You're not just going just for the sake of going. You want to meet the Master. Now you want to know Him better. You want a real experience with God. And when you go with that kind of hunger and thirst, God will never disappoint you. He'll never disappoint you. And that's our desire for the feast. And that's why there's a threefold preparation. The Master does all the heavy work. He prepares everything, brings everything together, the right place, right time, right people, right food, right music, all the arrangements, gives you the invitation. Then there's the threefold preparation. We need to be washed. Then we need to be anointed. And then we get there, and now you find His glory is going to come. And He's going to kiss your soul. And He's going to overshadow you with His glory. And something's going to take place. And you're going to come from there. And it's like I say, the very last slide I put, you're going to come back and say, That was an unforgettable experience. That's what you want it to be. I've been to meetings before and I want to forget them as soon as I leave. And I preached there, you know, because you did, nothing really hit. But I've been to places time and time again where you go and it's unforgettable. When you leave that, you want to write it in your spiritual diary. You want to take your 12 stones and put them in the Jordan. You know, because you never want to forget that. That was a something took that was precious. And that's my desire when we go. That's our desire when we go. That this will be something unforgettable. May not be spectacular. May not be, you know, to the world, but in your soul. You know, there was a kiss. There was a seal. There was a blessing, a divine reality. When we come back, we'll say, from that time, I've never been the same.
Amen.
Yeah, and I'm sure every single one of us desire that. But in order for that, the Lord's doing all that he can do, but now he waits upon us to do what we can do. So now we need to walk softly before the Lord. What is the first thing we're going to do tomorrow in the morning? Yeah, what are we going to listen to this week? What are we going to speak about this week? How much time are we going to give to the Lord in prayer and these days that lay before? That's going to determine so much of how much of an embrace and a blessing you get from the Master when you get there. And all that preparation, when you come into his presence, it's more than worth it. It's more than worth it. Yeah, one day in his courts is better than 1,000 years anywhere else. It's such a blessing. And that is my design. That is my prayer. So let's come to a short season of prayer. We really desire the Lord to bless these preparations that still need to be made. Pray for me, for the Lord to give me wisdom. I'm doing the teaching messages in the morning for 4 days. And not last year, I had to do the questions and answers. Brother Andrew Glover is doing the 4 evening services, the evangelistic services. So they have a balance like that. So really asking for prayer for that divine wisdom, that divine leadership, to know what it is that needs to be said. Let's pray for each of our young people. Let's pray for the musicians. Let's pray for the transport arrangements, that all will go well. You know, that everybody will get there nicely on time. Everyone will get there safely. And let's pray most of all that the Lord will draw near tonight and continue to bless tomorrow. And as we have our prayer meetings, special prayer meetings, house meetings on Friday, concerning these things, the Lord will give us a spirit of prayer, especially the young ones themselves, to really call upon the name of the Lord. And then as we come to Sunday now to finish things off, the Lord will send that cherubim once again to quicken and push us deeper and closer to the tree of life so that we are going with the anointing upon us. We're going with an expectation. And I believe the Lord will never let us down. Let's stand, saints. Let's come to just bow our heads as we come to a time of prayer. The saints that are online as well, I'd really invite you now to a season of prayer that you put ourselves before the Lord. Make sure you're under the blood, first of all. If there's anything between you and the Lord, the Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. The Bible says, if anyone says that he doesn't sin, he's a liar, because we all sin. So we need to come under the blood, first of all, and then we need to come to be washed by the waters of the word. And then we pray, Lord, anoint me. Lord, anoint my eyes with eye salve. That's what Jesus counseled. He says, you need to come unto me and buy the eye salve that you may see. We want the Lord to open our spiritual sight and say, Lord, lead and guide me and help us. And whatever else the Lord has laid upon your heart, let's just spend a short season in prayer as we call upon the name of the Lord. Let's pray for Friday. Let's pray for Sunday and whatever else as we call upon the name of the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, Father, for this time. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, Lord, that you've given unto us upon this evening, Lord, to come into this place upon this day, to look unto thee, oh, Father, at this time, Lord, how we want to bring these things before thee, Lord, how we want to pray for your people. I want to pray for your grace. I want to pray for your mercy, Lord, and that all that will be said and all that will be done, Lord. Father, Lord, we pray for these things, Lord. We're just thinking of these years gone by, Lord. Just your blessing, Lord Jesus, upon the living people, Lord. Father, Lord, we pray for your mercy, Lord, that you have bestowed, Lord. And Jesus, as we look up to you, so bring ourselves before thee, Lord, as we come. Father, each of the young people, Lord, we gather, Lord, Father, we look into you,
Father, Lord, I just bring you with you at this time. I just want to be in your hands. Just want to be led and guided. Just want to be in your spirit, even God. Lord, from this time forth, we will be mother's life. Even as I know to watch me, that you are speaking to me, Lord. That Father, you will guide me. You know everything that you have to go with. You know everything, Lord. You know that, Lord, that you must have laid before us, even tomorrow, Lord. We just seek you, Lord. Father, we just call upon you, Lord. Father, for the grace, for the goodness, Lord. For the humility, Lord, for the peace, Lord. Father, that is my prayer, and Father, Lord, I may just set my attention, my affections upon these things, Lord, but to be distracted, Lord, to be sidetracked, Lord, but to set my attention, and Father, Lord, even upon these things, and Father, upon your people, Father, Lord, is my prayer, testify upon this night. We just ask him for once more, Lord, Father, as we give it to me, as we, Father, call upon me, Lord, as you worship. Father, we humble ourselves before you, Lord. Father, I pray for the young people, Lord. I just pray that you renew to every soul. I just pray that you quicken us. Just pray that you lead us. Just pray that you guide us, Lord. Just pray that you grant us grace and grant us mercy, Lord. Father, lead us. We come before the Lord of those things, Lord. Father, Lord, as we prepare to pray for the Gregory, Lord. Pray for Brother Hogan, pray for all the arrangements, Lord. Pray for Brother Edward Love, pray for blessing, your grace, your mercy upon him. We pray for the musicians, Lord. We pray for the interpreters, Lord. We pray, Father, Lord, for the food that shall be dished, Lord. That Father, Lord, as we pray the finest of the wheat, Lord. That Father, to be what we want, Lord, to just tune in with you, to let it go out of you, to wait upon you, to follow you. And Father, to glorify the Lord is our prayer. Father, we're waiting upon the Lord upon this day. And we pray to you, Father, upon this day, Lord. Seek a man for this heavenly Father, this time of coming before you in the love. I do pray for the transport, Lord. Just pray for the regions. I pray, Father, for them that in the valley of decision, Lord, upon this day, Lord. Pray that you will quicken them. Pray, Lord, that your great grace, that your great mercy, Lord. Father, that you will nigh, that you will quicken, that you will lead, that you will guide, that you will have mercy. Father, Lord, as I pray. Thank you for the opportunity that you've given to us. Thank you for the invitation, Lord, that you've given us. Even that one for hungry in October, Lord. I just pray, Father, be it unto me according to your will. Be it unto me according to that word. Father, Lord, that your purpose, Lord, is my prayer. As if I may wait upon you, Lord, as I give myself to be a testing and as I look around to me, Lord. Father, glory, Father, be able to use this man. But Father, I've come to you now, Lord. I just want to draw the name of the Lord. Father, it's such a strong tower. I just want to run into it and be safe, Lord. Just pray for your predestined leadership. Just pray for your predestined guidance, Father, for your grace and for your mercy and for your leadership, Lord, and your guidance, Lord. Even at this time, Father, always my prayer and for your glory, Lord, in Jesus' reputation. Father, Lord, for this day that you have given, that Father, Lord, my mind might be stayed upon thee, Lord, to keep you in perfect peace for your glory, Lord. Father, pray for Friday, pray for your grace and mercy upon us, and the college prayer meeting that you will lead us, Lord. Then, Father, you will be glorified in you, Lord, and save you, Father, Lord. We set our affections, we set our attention upon thee, Lord. We give ourselves to thee, Father, Lord, to thee even now, and ask of thee, Father, and glorify thy name, Lord. Father, bless your people upon this night, Brother James. Bless him, bless Carlisle, be with him, be with his family, Lord. All the other saints, we gather and pray for his Lord, the grace of his family, Lord. We pray for each and every one, Father, Lord, as we look into the heavenly Father this time, as we call upon the name, Father, unto you, Lord, unto me, and wait upon the name of your glory. Pray for the Father, Lord, your protection. May you bless him, may you anoint him, Lord. Father, Lord, speak, Lord. Speak to the Lord. Minister to the end of every place, Lord. Minister to all young people, minister to hearts, minister to souls, minister to lives, Lord. Jesus, we glorify the name in the midst of your people, Lord. Minister deliverance to the captives, Lord. Father, Lord, wash us in the waters of your word. Speak, Lord, and pray, bring young ones to you, Lord, and bring them to the foot of the cross, Lord. And make yourself known, Father, Lord, may the praise be the Lord. Thank you for last year. Thank you, Lord, for the lessons that you gave.
Lord Jesus, we're so thankful, Father, for this Bible study you've given us. Lord Jesus, just reminding us how to prepare our hearts, Lord, for the camp, Lord, we're so thankful for the preparations that have already been made, Lord, by the brothers over there. Lord, they're praying for it. We're praying for it, Lord. We know that you'll do something good, that you'll do something mighty, Father God, that the people who go there may come back different. Lord Jesus, that the experience there may change us for the rest of our lives. That's the prayer we have, Father, that you be with us even now. Every preparation we'd have, Father God, every message we listen to, scripture we'd read, that Jesus, you may just reveal yourself to us, Lord, that we may have ears to hear, and Lord Jesus, eyes to see. Father, so we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this Bible study. We come praying even as we have, Lord, not many days left to the camp. You be with us, Lord, every service that would happen, the Friday, the Sunday service, they may speak to us through them, Lord, that we may see ourselves in the Word, and Father God, we may apply ourselves, Lord, accordingly. That Father God, you bless all the songs that would be sung until then, all the ministers that would preach, the Lord, you may anoint them now, Father God, is my prayer. They may be with us as we leave this place even now. We may leave with your Spirit. We thank you for your Spirit coming even now, Father, for speaking unto us. We pray that it may prepare us, Lord Jesus, for us to come. We're so excited, Father God, even to know that the camp's coming, to know that after we'll have a new church. Father, we come proclaiming, Lord, that it'll be ready, Lord, within, Father God, the next few months, Lord, before September, that we may be in it, Father, that we may, Lord, just have a place to worship, a central place, that we may have a revival in our church, that, Lord Jesus, everyone may be uplifted once again. We come thanking you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. This is our Father to lead us in one song there as we dismiss. And God bless you, saints. So next week there's no Bible study, obviously, because we're away. So please do keep us in prayer.
Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling for you and for me. I know that is rather slow, but perhaps you can just sing that once. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. Maybe I'll get us all a key. Yes. Come home, come home.
What number is it, bro?
I am flummoxed there now. Come home, it doesn't seem to be in the book. It must be in the book, I'm just using the wrong title. Softly, okay, yes.
Softly intended.
Yes, that is right, dear. Thank you so much.
179.
Amen.
179.
It is A flat. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come And why should we tarry when Jesus is calling, pleading for you and for me? Why should we linger and heed not his mercies, mercies for you and for me? Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh, come home, and time is now fleeting, the moments are passing for you and for me. Shadows are gathering, this night is now coming for you and for me. Oh, come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, oh sinner, come home. Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is he. Saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise. Once a slave, now I'm free, free from condemnation. Jesus gives liberty and a full salvation. Now the sins of the past have been all forgiven, and my name is inscribed on the book of heaven. Wonderful, 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 Jesus is to me. He's my counselor, he's my Prince of Peace, mighty God is he. Saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise his name. Living here with my Lord in a holy union, day by day, all the way, holding sweet communion. Oh, what change, grace has grown in my lowly station, since my soul has received full and free salvation. Wonderful, 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 Jesus is to me. He's my counselor, he's my Prince of Peace, he's a mighty God, is he. Saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise his name. Hallelujah.